And how did it start that you got involved in this? And that it worked out so well?
What?
In the anti-wall movement?
As I said, the anti-wall movement is something that was growing out from the peace movement and from the anti-occupation movement. It's not something that... it is something new, and a lot of people did get... joined it only after they heard about the wall, and because it's such an extreme situation now, so it's motivated them to join. But we didn't start from the wall. Didn't wait till the wall would start to build to fight the occupation.
Yeah.
And
it's a natural progression. It was just, at the beginning. When there were rumors about this wall, because nobody was talking about it, not in the Israeli media, not in the Palestinian media, not in the international media, Arafat wasn't saying anything about it, and there were just a bit of rumors about what's happening in Qalqilia, with a city where it's totally surrounded by walls and electric fences, and there's only one entrance in or out, where it became a ghetto, and people are suffering there. So there were just a few rumors there, but nobody really heard anything. And then when we started to do the camp in Masra, where Israeli activists could meet up with Palestinians and stay there overnight, every day for 5 months, because ironically, even though it was the Palestinian land, for the Palestinians was forbidden to be there. Because, they're doing construction and it's security, no Palestinians allowed. But because there were Israeli presence and international presence and media people there, the army never did anything to the Palestinians who were there. Because in the beginning, they wanted to kick out the Palestinians, and they tried to push them out and force them to get the legal permits to be there. But once they saw that, it's making more media attention to this. Because Israel is proclaiming that it's not creating a border by doing this wall. So if it's not a border, and you're inside Palestinian territory building it, then he has all the right to be there. So they really want to keep it hush-hush. So no scandals about it. So... eventually they let us be there for the whole time with the construction, and thousands of people just arrive and start talking and meeting up and seeing how we can do things together and create a common language. First time that both sides...
That was what people have been waiting for. You could see that in this moment when it appeared.
Yeah, pretty much. It was, how do you create this communication? How do you create a trust? You cannot do it in a demonstration. A demonstration lasts for a few hours. You don't really get to know the other person, to listen to the other person. And here it was a situation that you start talking politics, and then you just talk about other stuff and you get to know the other person. And we both come from such different cultures that so many things are different for us. If it's animal rights, sexism, religion, all those stuff had to be discussed. But when you start knowing the other person and trusting them, and basically with your life, because you go to a village which you've never heard of before, you do not know what the situation is there, everybody tells you it's dangerous, and then you see that it's not so dangerous, and actually you have more free from the soldiers and settlers than from the Palestinian people who are inviting you, and actually making you feel very welcome. So it broke a lot of barriers in this way, and
it's a very nice feeling, I guess.
It's amazing, because you come with a bit of feeling of strangeness and fear, you do not know what to expect, and you actually get something that actually totally relieves you. And also for them, because discussions I had with Palestinians, they were like saying, yes, they didn't know if the people who are going to come are going to be ex-military people, or maybe military people, or people who have strange ideas about Palestinians. They were scared also from this contact.
From themselves, or by some people?
Well, from themselves. Yeah. Like, some people told me in the beginning they didn't want to have anything to do with the Israelis because they didn't know if this person killed somebody. Maybe it killed a friend of them. So they said, we do not want to have any contact. But then they saw the dynamics and who these people really are, and actually they got along very well and they became very good friends. And now it's not only us going to Palestine, but some of them also coming to Tel Aviv and Israel and hanging around with us. And we go back there, so it's something very real. It's not in the air. There's a lot of positive emotions involved in this. I think this is the only way also we could have done this. If there was no positive emotions and only frustration and anger, it would have been pretty, the outcome would be negative. But because people really cared about each other, then you work out of a solidarity and a common concern to continue the struggle. So, and then you start thinking about strategies and how to do it and where to do it. Yeah, there's always mistakes being done, but it's progressing, I think.
There are also this Gush Shalom who is helping with Arafat and to do that. Did you have also heard discussions from the Palestinians about their authorities or their
what about their disappointment?
Complaints? Yeah,
yeah.
Of course.
They don't feel like, oh, these are Israelis, so we don't shit on our own government. It's not their feeling.
I'll tell you a story. Like, there was a demonstration, and there was this really known gay activist, Lazo. He went to one of these actions against the wall, and, like, you know, he has earrings and stuff, you know, and these are, like, a bit conservative cultures, so, like, none of the Palestinians have earrings over there.
Not even the women, I think.
So they're, like, he was pretty open about it, and then he was confronting the army, and the army, like, knew who he was, so they're trying to say, look, hey, they were talking to the Palestinians, look, aren't you ashamed to work with this faggot guy? You know, he's like, he wants to have sex with men, blah, blah, blah.
That's what the army told the Palestinians.
Yeah. So, but the Palestinians told them, look, he's a friend of ours. He came here to support us. We support him. You're the enemy. They told the army. So it was pretty clear. So even, and let's say, these kind of gender issues, it's moving a bit. Because once they get to know the person and see how dedicated everybody is, they feel that we don't care how you look like, basically. I mean, like, someone maybe have their women look like that or their children, but because they respect the difference in the culture, but to say, as long as you're being sincere and working with a full heart with us, then, you know, you're one of us. And they take you in and they protect you. And so often, in our ironic twist again, we have demonstrations with kind of Israelis being kind of a bit of human shield to the Palestinians in demonstrations, because if the Israeli presence, then the army's not so violent, but then the army tries to kidnap the Israelis out to separate them so they can crush the Palestinians, and then you see the Palestinians just running and grabbing back the Israelis and, you know, fighting away the army, and sometimes they get severely beaten up, the Palestinians, for protecting the Israelis. It's pretty surreal.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like, you know, you get a commitment coming out of you. You feel like you have to go there again and again and again, and it's always good energy. I mean, even when bad things happen, sometimes try to communicate it. Not always works, but yeah, it's trying.